Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Happy July to you. It is the month dedicated to the most precious blood, instituted in 1849, but really goes way back in church history unofficially. It's the early church fathers saying the church was born from the pierced side of Christ and that the sacraments were brought forth through his blood. Beautiful, powerful thought. This is a beautiful month. It's warm. It's yes. Independence Day. And with it being July, interestingly enough, I know it's wedding season, but I was just talking to my buddy, Father Jay Clark, our parish priest, and he said October is actually the new month of weddings. So really? I didn't know that, learning that, chalking that up to something new. It is also the birth month of my dear sister in Christ, Pastor Linda Isaiah.
Yes! Woo-hoo-hoo.
Back on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
This is episode 104. Okay. I can't believe it already. We're moving right through the summer. We're moving right through. I was excited building up to 99 and 100.
Right.
Now we're 104.
104.
And you've been
you
on
go,
with
girl.
Us. Well, and thanks to you, though. You've had some great programs. And today, with it being summer, we're going to tackle a topic that is timely, and that is showing more skin, being comfortable with our body, some of the distortions that we deal with.
Yeah.
So we're going to discuss that. It ties in some way to your birthday because getting older, knowing that we are alive, trying to be grateful for the gift of today, but also dealing with stuff that we carry.
That's right.
Through the years. So we're going to tackle that.
Because everything's going backwards.
But I think no matter what age, it starts so early these days.
Oh, honey, it starts to go backwards. You can tie it up for a minute if you want, but it's eventually going back.
No.
Right.
I know. Well, see, this was my, what did you say?
You can spend your money, but it's eventually, it's going to still go back.
And you're going to find something else.
That's all.
It's like when you're fixing a house that needs repaired. You can fix the floor and then you realize, oh, shoot, this is something else that needs to be.
I need to paint the walls, right?
Yes. Well, you know, when I was at the beach on vacation recently, I think that's what hit me. I had a bit of an awakening there about how many unresolved issues I have personally about body issues. When you go to the beach, you see people in various stages of undress. And I did find myself thinking, oh man, I wish I looked like her. Regardless of the fact, I've been pregnant a total of 7 times. I've lost 3 babies.
Right.
I birthed 4.
Right.
And I'm not 20. I'm not a bodybuilder.
Right.
But yet still, there's that comparison. We're seeing heavier people that were letting it all hang out and totally happy.
Yes.
There was a guy, quite large man, on the beach who ordered a pizza on the beach. I have never seen that.
Hey. He said, ain't no shame in his game.
Exactly.
He's on vacation.
He was just enjoying and soaking it up.
Oh, wow.
And here I am thinking,
what freedom.
Oh, you know, I can feel my thighs jiggling, all these things that I know. That as God, my maker and creator, knitted me together, would disappoint as we hear our children pick apart their body or say, I don't like this. And you think, you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's what it says in Psalms 139 and 14. And before that, the few words before that said, I will praise God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Praise.
Praise God. We ought to be thankful for how God has made us. Now, of course, we've added some things to the making. You know what I'm saying? If you got the extra pounds and you've eaten too much and all those things, you've caused some of that. But for the most part, God has designed us as women. He's fashioned us a certain way. And it's in the DNA.
Yeah.
If you got a big booty, you just got a big booty from your mama. You can't do much about that. It is what it is. And thank God for that.
It is. And
it is.
All through time, it's been that way. All around the world, we were talking in traveling to Guatemala and Haiti and all the different places. You see women have bodies of all shapes and sizes,
all
no matter where they are.
That's right.
And I was thinking about this kind of biblically and the idea of the father of lies, Lucifer.
Yes.
When you read Ezekiel, it's chapter 28, it's the story about Satan, Lucifer being radiant, the picture of celestial perfection. He was the measuring stick of what was beautiful in God's eyes.
Right.
And then he used his
beauty,
his
wisdom.
Yes.
Not to glorify God, but it was pride thinking he could glorify himself. He could glorify himself.
Yes. Yes.
And so he didn't need God. And then he was cast out. And then he lost all beauty,
right.
Became crawling on his belly as a serpent.
Right. That's right.
And it was interesting because I know that's the root of this lie of looking in the mirror and being disgusted.
Yeah.
No matter if we're size 2 or 22.
That's exactly right.
Because we can look at someone thinner and say, what in the world are they complaining about?
That's right.
And it's still something that we all carry because we all have this idea of how we look and how we think other people see us.
Absolutely. And we live in a culture where everything is so visible.
Right.
Everything is on TV and everything is about how you look, how skinny you are, and what kind of makeup and all the extensions we put in our hair and all the glamorous things that we do as women to appeal to something, a man or a job or a career.
Other women this is the ideal.
This is what you should look
right.
like. You know, but I'm reminded of the scripture in Genesis. I think it's in Genesis 2 and 25 when God created Eve. I love that he fashioned her. And when he says fashioned her, he shaped her. She was a shapely woman and it appealed to Adam. He liked the fact that she had breasts and butt and all of that and thighs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they didn't know they were naked in the garden. That always is. They didn't know. They were just living their lives. Nobody. They didn't care. And then that Lucifer came along, and they sinned, the fall of man. And when they were in the garden, and God was walking, he asked where they were at, and they were hiding. He said, "Well, who told you you were naked?" So my question is, who told you that you were fat, unattractive? Your thighs were too big. Your eyes are too big. Your hair isn't. Who told you those things? Because those are things from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's cultural for you. Maybe in your household, Brooke, I don't know about you, but in my household, things were said that were negative to me. I've always been a full, busty girl. And I was always teased about that to the point of tears and to the point of hating my body. And then menfolk that were around me, it just seemed like they were always fixated on that.
Right.
So when I got to be an adult woman, I was tired of it. And I went to see a surgeon. And I had surgery. Now, I know some of y'all know me say, are you kidding me? Yes, I did. I did have surgery. And they back some of them, you know. But anyway.
Well, I have to rabbit trail on that, just a detour, because you and I talked about that. Yeah. That's one of the things that bothers me personally is I'm a bigger, busted woman, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Now, isn't it grass is greener on the other side?
Always.
Always.
But you know what? When we get over to the other side, we find out it's nothing but artificial turf.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Oh, I like that.
It's not real.
That needs to be on a kitchen towel or a t-shirt.
I like that. You always think the grass is greener on the other side, and you get over there and find out it's artificial turf.
Yeah.
It don't give. It don't move. It never turns out like you think it's going to turn out. Just watch some of these cable shows. I was watching one yesterday called Botched. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
I was like downstairs folding laundry and turning it on, and I was like, wow. Because they have this image of what they want to look like.
And then they got there.
They get there and they're like, I'm still not happy
because
it's from within.
Well, I think I don't know if I shared this actually, this story with you or on the program, but I remember the first time that I went to a triathlon and I saw this woman and she was swimming and had her bathing suit on. And then she got her tennis shoes on and went running. And I was like, oh my goodness, she didn't put on 2 or 3 sports bras. She just got out of the water and started running. I can't imagine.
Wow.
And I just thought, that must be so nice. But what a silly yardstick to be measuring.
Exactly.
And you had shared too, because I said, man, I really think I want to get a breast reduction. My back's hurting. I feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know, I don't know unless the Lord provides an additional surprise child that I'm going to be nursing anymore. I don't need them this size.
Right.
And you said, well, they might grow back.
Yes. Well, they're tissue. That's all it is.
Right.
And they will grow back. And then as you move into menopause, they have a tendency to grow. I've seen that happen with women. But even the woman who has very small breasts, legs, whatever, they look and want and say, boy, I wish I did. You know. And I just wonder sometimes, Brooke, does that grieve God that we're not happy with how he's created us, the creator?
Well, I think as we know our Father in heaven, and those that, you know, of us have had good, healthy, strong father figures or biological fathers, we have to know that it does. And you talked about referencing Psalm 139.
Yes.
And he says praise. And when we tear down or when we compare, we know that, but we can't help it, right?
Yes. And when we compare, when you compare yourself to somebody else on any level, you always come up short.
But this is what we're dealing with, even before our feet hit the floor.
Yes.
I'm someone that I tried for a while and I do better times than others of not even touching my phone until I say my morning prayers, I get out of bed. Mm-hmm. But every now and then I might have messages, you know, if I'm waking up and it's
me
on my
too.
Phone.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're on Instagram, which I want you to be, but I know it's one more thing.
Yeah.
But that is a strictly visual medium.
Really?
So it's all photographs and you tell a story through pictures.
Okay.
And so say someone, a young girl, me, whoever, mm-hmm. you're logging on to Instagram in the morning, first thing. You even get out of bed and you're seeing these images. I mean, these teenage girls, they know how to pose.
Yeah, they do, they, girl.
It's like at, I mean, of course we're all.
The old ones too, though. Because they'd be on my Facebook page. I said, now where's she at all? Bent back over. I said, oh my goodness. Well, you know, and let me say, and you do what you see, and there's no shame anymore.
Right.
There's no covering anymore. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, I think that's the challenge of we want to embrace the one body that God's given us, whatever it may be, however it may be, whether we have burns and scars, stretch mark or cellulite, whether we are in the best shape of our life and we want to inspire others.
Right.
And that's the line that I was finding when I was at the beach, going back to that, was how do I try to be a good steward of this body, but not obsess about it?
Yeah.
I want to take care of it, but not make it an idol.
Right.
And finding that balance. And so I wanted to ask you, because it's a road that you've traveled
a long
time to make peace.
It is a journey. And I'm 61 years old. And I think I'm getting to a point where I like Linda and I like what I have. I'm going to work with what I have. I'm never going to be a 36, 24, 36 brick house, you know, that the Commodores talk about. I might have been that at 16 or something like that.
I was thinking baby got back.
Yeah. But that's not now. So I'm making peace with it. I exercise. I work what I can work, and the rest of it is just what it is. You know, I'm not having any surgeries. I know friends who've had tummy tucks, and I said, God bless them. Then they got to keep fighting to keep that stomach flat. And for me, that's not realistic.
Yeah.
So I just exercise. I try to eat right. And I say, you know what, God, help me to deal with the ghost from my past that keep telling me that I'm not enough. You understand? And once I can deal with that, then I become enough. But if we don't want to go back to the pain of where we get these images from, maybe it's something that somebody said to you. Maybe it was a boyfriend that mistreated you and shamed you. I had a girlfriend who went on her honeymoon, and when they were undressing, her husband said to her, "You look different than I thought you would look."
Oh, my.
Now, this girl had no concept. She was a virgin. She had no concept of, she was just happy. She's great with her husband. And from then on, when I see a church, she's covered up from head to toe.
Mm.
Always talking about, I wish, well, one day I'll be able
to. Well, those are pivot point moments.
Yes,
I mean, it can impact the heart in such a forever
way. It fractured her.
Yeah.
It fractured her. So my question would be, you ask me what I do, I go back. And as you asked me to talk about this a little bit, I immediately could go back to my dad. And some things that were said to me, and always feeling inadequate in my body. And my mom was okay. She thought I was gorgeous, beautiful, and all that. But my dad was different. And a girl wants the love and support of her dad. You understand?
Yeah.
So what happens is you get married, and I married a man who compliments me all the time. And I, for years, couldn't hear that. I'm like, please. You know, he was, oh, Linda, you're so beautiful. You're this. And I'm like,
so it was like you almost had a bulletproof compliment vest on. It would just,
exactly.
It wouldn't penetrate in.
Exactly. But now, because of the word of God and hard work, I can put on a something and I know I look good.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Not in an arrogant way, as you said, balance.
Yeah.
And say, and I'm not ashamed to put on
a
swimsuit.
Or you're praising God because you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
I'm praising God for that. You know, so I put on a swimsuit. I just put a skirt on it. You know, I ain't trying to show all that, but I put a little skirt on it. Walk out to the beach, and I'm okay with that because I have to know that God's okay with me.
Well, Yes. And that is the root and the foundation. Yeah. That's where we start from and bloom up from there. But then there is this tale of two stories of body image, I think, in our culture and our time right now. On one hand, you've got the body shamers, and they're going to call you out on the carpet. And then on the other hand, you've got the big and beautiful. I am big. I am beautiful. I'm going to celebrate it. And we know, again, as we shared, everybody has different body frames and the way that we are just predisposed to carry weight and be. Yeah. But then also, I think it's not good to celebrate. If someone's really, really big, they're sick.
That's right.
They're not healthy. And to have a godly approach to say, Lord, show me.
Right.
Show me who I can be in you.
Right.
And I think the church needs to continue to use a megaphone to
and
shout that message
that.
Because the culture is so loud in the other direction of let's be shiny, let's be pretty, let's be the selfie.
Yeah, and we're going to eat. We're going to fellowship. Black folk going to eat it every opportunity there is. And even with grief, it's the same thing. You know, when you have a funeral, what do you do after you bury your loved one? They feed you. And so, yeah, there has to be a balance because we're over. So celebrating yourself because you're obese, that's not good. That's not, God doesn't want you obese. He doesn't want you unhealthy. He wants you to be able to praise him. As Bishop said on Wednesday night, you can't praise God if you can't shout because you're too tired. You're out of breath. But a lot of that has to do with, again, where we've come from.
And what we're carrying.
And what we carry.
Right.
That we carry into adulthood. And some people, Brooke, never get past it. They never get to a point where they like how they're shaped and who they are.
I think it's really important that you point that out. And also, shame on me for focusing just on women, because I know this is a struggle with men, too.
Yeah, sure it is.
And men carrying, and again, oftentimes it's not just the weight you're carrying, you're carrying pain, you're carrying the history.
That's right.
Of things that you've endured.
And rejection, and that's what my pastor's been talking about, is rejection. And that he said, underneath all that eating that we do, or not eating,
right?
Because we're starving ourselves because we want to be thin. That sickness that goes on with that, ladies, underneath all of that is rejection, trying to be accepted. So I won't eat because I think that if I have control and I get smaller, then somebody's going to like me. Or better yet, I do the other thing. I just eat. I watched this show last night, the 600-pound life. Girl, I couldn't hardly take it. That man was 800 pounds. I prayed, God, but there's something so deep in him that he could not get, the pain was so deep, he couldn't get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And he would just stuff himself with food. But I tell you what it said to me, if it wasn't for God's grace, that would be me.
Amen. Where are you today in the fact that you just celebrated a birthday?
Ah.
So every year we say, thank you, Lord, I am alive.
I'm so blessed.
You've given me another year.
Yes.
I've got,
yes.
You know, so much as we always reflect, I think, on birthdays at our blessings.
Yeah.
And the reality of we are all getting older.
How
have you been able to reconcile age? Is this just, I remember as a teenager asking my mom that question, and she said, there's always something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And she never thought of it as, of course, there are moments where you're thinking, oh, all this gray, or I've got these spider veins or whatever.
Right.
Do you get spider veins?
No.
Is that just a white thing?
I think so. I don't see a lot of it in the black girls. No, I don't get spider veins. At least I don't.
Okay.
I don't. Your mom is beautiful. Let me say that. I want to say that right now in the air. I think your mother is a beautiful, mature woman, beautiful in how she looks and how she carries herself, and she puts on her makeup. And I was impressed with that when we went to Ireland, because I was like, I ain't putting on no
you
makeup
guys room
every
together.
Day. We roomed together, but she was always doing her face. And let me say, as you get older, it takes longer, and you have to do more upkeep than you did when you were younger.
Yeah.
But for me, I tell you what I did. I went out to the mall on the 4th, and I tried on clothes. And the fact that the clothes that I usually wear, and for those of you who are full size girls, you know, I was in a 22 screaming. Probably need to be in a 24. And some of y'all need to stop wearing all them old tight clothes. But anyway, I understand. Don't want to go down and say, I ain't that big. Yes, you are. Accept it and buy you some good clothes to cover up. But anyway. So
I've been through that too, though. And you make excuses. You say, they're all shrinking in the dryer.
I can't be that big. You say, yes, you are. It's the maker. It's whoever made the skirt.
And pictures are really tough because they are an obvious sign of how you're doing and where you are. And that can be really tough to face.
It's painful. It's painful. So what I did was I tried on a 18 in a suit, and it was too big. Now that's big for me, ladies. So it felt good to be in a 16, but it comes from exercising. And you know what? Let me say this. I'm not really concerned about my weight and what I wear as much as I am my health. When
exactly,
you get older, you need to be concerned about, well, you should at younger too, but you're concerned about your health. Are you going to be able to worship God? Are you going to be able to minister? I want to still minister to women on whatever level God wants me. It's a quality of life. So what I took away when I turned 61 was, man, God has kept me this long. I got my focus. I'm eating right. I'm living right. We didn't have birthday cake at my party. There was nothing sweet. And I was so happy about that. I had a salad.
And you've been having tea. I know you drink tea a lot.
I have tea. I drink tea a lot. And so, and even now, it's still a challenge, but I want to be the best I can be for the kingdom. That's my motivation. Yes. Not the best I can be for my husband, even though that works out for me, or the best I can be for somebody else, but for the kingdom.
Well, I had shared, and I think I told you too, early in the year, maybe it was February, I joined Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
And I no longer joined because we couldn't afford it anymore, but I learned so much from that. And I feel like when going to the meetings for the first time, what I learned is I had a judgment in my mind of who might be at these meetings. And it was every demographic, every age and shape.
Yes.
And I said at the time, like, I think it should be called Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself, because
we
often don't take inventory every day of what we're doing to our bodies.
That's right.
It's easy to go on autopilot. And I think, at least for me, I get into kicks where it's like I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
And then I fall off the wagon for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So I appreciated that so much because it did focus on health. Mm-hmm. And hearing the stories of so many who had said, because of my weight and size, I had this problem. I had hypertension. And of course, for all of us, it breaks your heart because we all want to be strong and healthy.
Right.
And then we're frustrated. And then on some levels, you feel defeated because you might be doing good and you're not seeing progress and you're thinking, what's the point anyway?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lifelong
thing. It's a lifelong thing. And it flows. It comes and goes. And you have to be okay with that, because I got on the scale this morning and I'm up. I've gained some weight and I'm like, oh my gosh, well, I'm just drink water and not eat anything. And I'm like, okay, pull yourself back together. Let's be realistic. Okay. You've been eating some stuff you shouldn't have been eating.
Yeah.
So that's where the weight come from. It's okay, Linda. No big deal. Just do what you need to do. Keep moving forward. There's no needing in looking back. I don't try to focus. When I even go to the gym, I went to the gym this morning and all these young girls were walking around with this stuff. And my girlfriend said, you know, we need to get us some workout stuff. I said, honey, I'm wearing these sweatpants and this shirt. I don't care anything about that.
Well, you brought up a good point.
Yeah. I said, I'm not trying to look like them, because she felt a pressure. Oh, well, if we're going to come out here to LA Fitness, then we need to look like, no.
Yeah.
I need to look like me. I'm not coming out here to socialize. I'm coming out here to do what I got to do and go home.
That's a great liberation and reality of,
I don't have money to go out and buy new stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And anyway, I'm not going
to
wear it.
But you had a really good point. You said when you go to a gym, the men are in like loose pants. The men aren't spandex.
No, they're not.
The women are. The women are in sports
bras. Everything. And tight. You hear me? Lipstick on, everything. Mm-hmm. And they be posing and carrying on the machines. And the man be, I was watching because I was up on the top on the treadmill observing everything. And I'm just like, this is so interesting. The women are just, you know, posing. And the men, they just.
Well, I guess it's the dance. It's kind of the Animal Kingdom dance, right? You've got the testosterone and the estrogen.
And I'm thinking the guys are wearing clothes that are loose fitting and the women are wearing things tight. And if you notice, as I said earlier, when you go to amusement parks, that always gets me. The women are literally naked.
Yeah.
And the men are dressed. I tell my husband, I don't get that. Why don't y'all take something off? But I mean, I just... Why do we feel, ladies, like we have to expose so much in public?
There's a book that I read, and I can't remember the name of it now, and it talked about the history of wearing less clothing. The bikini was so controversial.
Yeah.
And even women going from skirts to pants.
Oh, I remember
and how,
that.
And then the midriff. And I think, I don't know if it was the 60s, it must have been this, where there was just this enormous leap.
Yeah.
Where change in wardrobe changed dramatically.
70s.
And how that really still is kind of in our psyche. And I think as Christian women, we're caught in the middle because we don't want to be so frumpy and dowdy off the image that we don't care about ourselves and that we give no thought to our husbands or just anything else. Just I think it's part of hygiene is making sure that we look the best that we can, but not obsess over it.
Right.
Modesty is important. And, and you'll find every spectrum of belief on that, from those that really are faithful to saying, I want to cover my shoulders, I want to wear long skirts all year, to those who are saying, look, I want to be an image of a happy, hip Christian, and I want to be able to dress, but always with class.
Exactly.
And it's tough because I don't know that the church, even my church that has, you know, a catechism and things that are very specifically laid out, has A, B, C, D, this is how you should dress in this circumstance at this time. Right. It's prudence and using the virtues to enlighten our mind and heart to say, how do you really need to be dressing in this circumstance? And you got to dress for your figure.
Yeah, it's because nobody has a perfect body. But you're making some really outstanding points about how we should look. And that would be a wonderful topic because nowadays when we go to funerals, you know, people are dressed so inappropriate. They don't even have the decency to just put on a pair. You can put on black slacks and a black shirt or something. I don't care. But to come in with, I've gone to them and, you know, they've got these spandex skirts on and they're halfway up, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. And so there needs to be something said that there's a time and place for everything.
Right.
And how we dress as Christian women. And we ought to be an example. And it's like you said, we don't have to wear things down to our toes, but neither should we have things so short that,
we cause others to stumble,
cause others to stumble. We say, show your turkey and your dressing. You don't need to show any of that. You need to cover that up. But we live in a society now, even in the Christian world, we don't dress like we're going to church.
Yeah. I was going to ask, having the privilege and honor to be welcomed into your church, I always enjoy observing different customs. I know living in the South, when we were stationed in Fort Bragg, my husband was there, we would go to Mass and you really would see in the Baptist churches or whatever the case might be as you would go through the town, the hats, the nice suits, the put together.
Yeah.
And in our church, it was a little bit more casual. Have you seen a change over time?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. In African-American churches, many churches have relaxed their dress a lot. We tried it at my church, but it didn't go over well. Even though we've relaxed a lot, my pastor still wears a suit. He said, this is who I am. He tried it once or twice and he said, forget it. That's not me. I'm not comfortable
with
that.
Well, and that's a whole other topic. Right. That's a whole other topic because working in Christian ministry for so many years, it's discernment, trying to be charitable, but also defend. We are going in the kingdom. You are going before the king.
That's
and there are some, I don't want to paint with a broad brush stroke and stereotype, but there are some churches or beliefs that, hey, I'm coming in ripped jeans, but at the same time, you are going, if you're going to Buckingham Palace, I mean, yes,
come on,
fine if you want to wear ripped jeans.
Work with it.
But please, this is the king.
If you were going to see the President of the United States, you wouldn't wear just anything.
And I think we live in a time where you can't even say, you can't be like, well, you're judging. We need to raise the bar.
You are going to church. You are going to worship God. And we used to say, I want to give God my best. Not just in my worship, but in how I dress too. And if this is the best I have, then this is what I will wear. But give him your best.
Right. And I know in going to Ireland, you saw, and all over the world, these ornate churches, gold and stained glass windows. All the best that we have is elevated up and makes you think of heaven.
Yes.
And that's how, even if you have one good pair of pants, one crisp, that's such a powerful sight when you see maybe an elderly person and they are put together.
Put together.
They took time. Like they're going on a date, like that's they are in love.
That's right.
To do something special.
I'm excited. I remember we used to lay our clothes out the night before because we were excited about what we were going to wear to church the next day, and we wanted to look a certain way. And if it was an anniversary Sunday or a baptism or something, you know, you wore something different, and it was just an exciting time. You know? And so I think when you talk about shaming, I think that you can be lifted up, and it can be positive for you when you go into the household of God. You can make it a celebration with your children, even. I know with my son, you know, I tell him, what you going going to wear. Let's see what it looked like. Make sure it's ironed. You teach those principles.
Yes.
You know, you make sure you got a belt. Where's your belt at? I don't play all that drooping off your behind. Put a belt on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yet on the other hand.
Because if you're not going to dress up for church, where are you going to dress up?
Come on.
And as you talk about with the funeral, we have to have the dignity of ourselves to be able to offer respect.
Respect.
And that's what it comes down to. And
it
you're
does.
Never too old or young, rich or poor, to pay respect.
As you said, when you teach your children, and when you get dressed up and you put your makeup on, girl, and you put on your best dress, you feel good about yourself. And there's no shame in that. You don't feel shamed. So sometimes you have to fix yourself up and you got to work past what other people think about you, what your daddy said about you, your mother said about you, so that you can be the best that you can be. Because you are what you are and you've been created in the image of God. There's nobody else that looks like him like you look like him. So when you say all of that, your head ought to be up.
Yes.
And not down.
Yeah.
And you ought to be excited that when I get up in the morning and my feet hit the ground, that you know what, God made me just with the lumps, with the cellulite. He knows it's all going back to the dust anyway.
Yeah.
I was telling my girlfriend today, because, you know, I do a lot of funerals, unfortunately. I said, I have never seen a person in a casket that when they looked at the body, they said, oh, he sure took good care of himself. He's dead.
Yeah.
It's over. Oh, didn't they look young? We don't say those things because it's done. But we spend so much energy on what we think we ought to look like. And in the end, at the end of the day, they're going to view you and keep going.
Yeah. And they're going to mourn you for the qualities, the virtues, the love.
Oh, I love it.
And not because you had a great biceps.
That's right. Because of what you've done, how you've given, how you've had relationships, how you've loved. That's the quality.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny.
Wow,
we had
good,
a
bro.
Guest on. He has a book called Pray Fit and how exercise and looking good, it's actually a byproduct of obedience. And when we're obedient to God in what we eat and how we care for ourselves, well, the result, hopefully, I mean, not always, but will be that we feel good, that we're strong. And he says, we are not a body. We have a body. We're a soul.
Right.
We just happen to have a body. This is our outer wrapping.
I love
and we can make it look nice, but it's the gift inside that is what matters.
Right.
And that's a powerful truth
it
that
is.
I think we have to come back to. And we've also talked about Mother Teresa, and she had a very wrinkled face. She was in India working in the heat and no makeup. But what do I see? I think what do a lot of people see when they look at her face? It's her smile.
It's her smile.
She had these beautiful eyes and smile.
And her spirit.
In the midst of great suffering.
That's right. And her spirit. And you know, when we eat right and live right, we worship God through that. Piggybacking off what you said, we worship God through that because we're taking care of our temple. That's what the Bible says. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you've been given this wonderful temple. Take it and make it work for you.
I agree. And I think like many people, we don't realize what we have until we're losing it or it's gone.
That's right. You got it. You thought you were fat at 14 and now you're 50. It's a whole different kind of fat. And by the way, ladies, it shifts. You know, your body kind of shifts. It don't stay all in the same spot. As you get older, you'll find out some weight will shift down below and then some shift up. And you say, where'd that come from? It's a journey. It's the things your mother never told you. Because my mother, I don't know if your mom told you, but my mom, she never talked
about specifics of aging.
No, she did not.
Yeah.
My mother never said anything to me about it. My mother went on cruises and she just lived her life. She took a life with lemons. She had a bad life and she took and made wonderful lemonade out of it. And in the end, she was smiling. She's like, I've had a good life. So it's all
The witness. It's the example.
Yeah.
That's lived out. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Fearfully
the message is I mean, I don't think you can say it enough.
Yes, you cannot. You cannot say it enough. You have to keep saying it to your children because they're inundated every day with negative stuff. How are you going to bless people? How are you going to help people? And we have to get past that outer and get to the heart. I think it's important for us as women and men to go back. I'm real a proponent of going back. Look at where it came from. frame it, deal with it, grieve over it, and begin to accept who you are in Christ and begin to walk that out every day, and that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and begin to just put the scriptures on your wall, whatever. And if you speak it long enough, one day you'll get up and you'll believe it.
Yes.
I'm a child of the Most High.
Yes.
And I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am beautiful. I got beautiful legs, toes, hands, feet, whatever.
Yep.
Because this is what God has given me. And I'm grateful at 61. I'm grateful for where I'm at in life. I'm grateful for that.
But you can see it. I think there is a beauty about kind of a soul at peace, a soul set free. And we recognize it. Those, I think, of faith who walk in faith, mm-hmm. and that hear the voice of the Master,
right.
I think he enlightens us through the Holy Spirit with certain truths and understandings that we didn't have, of course, when we were walking in darkness.
Uh-huh.
And you can kind of see, and maybe as you get older, mm-hmm. you can kind of see it more clearly if someone, yes, they look good, but you can tell there's something going on
there's
inside.
Something different. That's
and
right.
then you can also see the people who are completely at peace and they are radiating it.
Yes.
And maybe
yes.
it is the one that is yes. heavy at the beach with a bikini and she is happy and
happy.
Free.
Happy
or maybe
and
it
free.
Is the 80-year-old woman. You know, there's a great, I was listening to it yesterday, the Frank Sinatra song, Young at Heart.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're young at heart,
yeah.
you have joy at any age. And yeah. the earlier we discover that, yeah. the more fulfilled our life will be.
Absolutely.
Because again, as we were discussing, so often we don't know what we have until it's gone.
Until it's gone.
Our voice until it's taken from us.
You
our
never,
health until it's we're afflicted.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad that you die never knowing who you are in Christ. Never knowing how much he loves you and he cherishes you, every part of you, and that he knows every hair that's on your head. That you die not knowing that. And see, that's not going to be my life.
Yes.
That's a decision I made a long time ago. Whatever I got to do to fight through all the negatives and all that, then I will do that, because there's more than just what I look like. It's what I am in Christ. And he makes me what I am in terms of my style, my smile, my laugh, whatever it is, you know. And so I try to encourage young women and young men, you know, be the best you can be for Christ. All that other stuff, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out. You know, you'll figure it out. My brothers, I got some that are short. I got some that are tall. All of them are very dark skinned men. And they used to feel bad about being so dark because people would laugh at them and pick at them. And I didn't know this. I just found this out at
yeah.
a family reunion. And now they're mature.
See, now that's interesting, because I always thought that people were picked on if they were too light skinned.
No. No. In our culture, if you were lighter, you were more popular.
Okay.
And if you were darker, you were mistreated, because that's all about the whole slavery piece.
Yeah.
And so my brothers felt shame, and they're adult men now, and they have grown up and grown past so much of that, but they had to fight it, because we not only just shame ourselves, the culture shames us, but we shame ourselves in terms of our own families
yeah.
and how we treat our cousins, all that old stuff. I remember growing up a teenager, and all of those things start to shape us.
Yeah. And they can be generational.
And they
as
can
you
be
said.
Generational.
So you have to go back.
You
got to
go back.
Well, I can't believe we got to wrap up, but we do. And thank you. Thank you for being, as I'm looking back, I'm thinking, I don't even know if I properly introduced you as we kicked off the show,
oh,
but I think our listeners
did.
Know you by
you
now.
Did. You did. You did.
I want to try to do an event, which maybe in the next program we'll get to, although I don't know, because Mark, my producer, taking some time off, going on vacation. So
yeah.
we're
going to
take a week break, and maybe in August, we had talked about maybe putting together a ladies' night out if you're in the
yes.
Ohio area, Cleveland,
yeah,
Canton, Akron, Columbus.
Yeah.
So we'll have more information on our social media accounts. But how can people find you if they want to connect with you personally?
They can find me, of course, on Facebook, Linda Isaiah, or you can find me on my webpage, lciministries.org. Or you can call me if you like.
Okay.
You can call me at 330-322-1417.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't pick up strange calls, so just leave a message
or
and I'll call you back
something.
Or text or something if you want to talk. But
you're on Voxer, too.
And I'm on Voxer. Oh, yeah, Voxer. I love
just
Voxer.
Linda Isaiah.
Yes, I love Voxer.
Okay.
Linda Isaiah.
Okay.
So you ladies be encouraged out there. It's summertime. Go get your swimsuit and put it on. You know, I used to cover up with a shirt and all of that because I was so busty. And then I just said, whatever. And then when I walk out, now all the men just stare, just drool. I'm going to say, close your mouth. Okay? I can't do anything about it. They're here.
You gotta
laugh about
celebrate
it.
Celebrate what God gave
right.
you.
It's just the way it is.
Yes.
I, you know, so hey.
Blame my auntie. It didn't come from my mother. It came from my aunt. I said, oh, goodness.
I know. Genetics is an interesting study between teeth and hair and everything else that we get. Well, thank you for being a part of the show.
Oh, I loved it.
I know we'll be in touch.
Yes.
We'll have you on again.
Yes.
Heavy stuff. I mean, really getting into it. No pun intended. Or
yeah.
I guess maybe
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
It, but it is a lot to digest.
It is. It is.
So,
but it's real. The
yeah.
struggle is real
across
out there.
The board.
Yes, it is.
If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Send an email. Also, Voxer, Brooke Taylor, and the number one. Facebook, all those little ways. We would love to hear your input. And what are your thoughts on this body image discussion?
That's
right. Anything you want to add, shoot us your feedback. You can join the show that way. And I want to say, have a great vacation to my producer. He's going, which is well deserved, on a
yeah.
little beach. I think it's a mountain cabin with his wife. And he is a fantastic producer. So if you have any needs at all, cominghomestudio.com is how you can find Mark. Until next time, may Psalm 139 be your guide to know and to live the truth that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God bless you.
Amen.